Hey, Mr. Birch, this is could potentially be like our last podcast of the year. So I'm expecting you to like knock it out of the park here with this cold open. It's got to be memorable, right?
Are you expecting to do one more of these kind of what if and the big voice and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've done some really good at cold opens this year. I think we need.
I'm not really feeling it. No, I'm not really feeling it today. I've been doing some research into people who just got paid loads of money just not to do the work.
Right.
So I've decided that I just want to do that.
Paid not to do the work?
Yeah. 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 So I'm just going to do that instead. So I'm not going to do anything for this podcast.
I'm sorry. You're not going to do anything for this podcast?
I mean, I'll push the button. I'll push the intro button for you.
What?
I'll push the intro button. Here you go.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so kind. I'm glad you did.
Not to completely sidetrack the podcast before we even get started, but I have
classic.
But a few weeks back, we did the whole "What If Bond" theme episode, which I really enjoyed, and indeed, we got a bit of feedback from people to say that they really enjoyed it. So that's great. But as a result, I had to make a Bond playlist on my music and all the Bond themes. But now I have the Dark Bond playlist, which is all the alternate ones. And I've been humming that Radiohead track for the past 2 weeks. But someone else has said that as a consequence of listening to us, they've gone out and bought that Muse Supremacy track, which we are continuing to use as our opening music. So I'm glad that this has resulted in some revenue generation for our beleaguered music industry. Welcome to the Fantasy Film League podcast. I think this is our penultimate of the year. I think, more or less.
Probably. But who knows what will happen in the next few weeks, right?
Well, exactly. Yes.
It's been a crazy year.
It's been craziness. It's been emotional. Yeah, absolutely. But yes. So, what are we doing?
Well, first of all, I want to say, I think on that Bond podcast, I think I made a terrible, terrible mistake. I went back and listened. I think that what we should have done is dropped Supremacy by Muse in on Skyfall and moved Adele's song to No Time to Die. I think we've really badly screwed up.
No Time to Die. What, the Billie Eilish one?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not even sure I've heard that one, but I think maybe we need to go back again. Can we go back and fix it?
I'm afraid we can't.
I'm starting to have buyer's regret.
But I will tell you now that there is another multiverse episode coming up in the new year, because
no,
there is another. But that's next year. We've also got to decide.
I'm not sure I can handle that. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Oh no. I mean, it was good fun. I really enjoyed the Bond episode, and so we got another one coming up, which again will allow me to do the voice and you to make some poorly thought out choices. So yeah, right. We've got a fair bit to cover. So we need to talk about some of the new films that are coming out to kind of tail end 2021. I've been off looking at how to be
blockbusters.
Yep, I've been looking up how to be super lazy and still get paid, which is wonderful. We've got some news to do, and that's it. So, shall we drop straight to the news? It's in the news. News. at some point we are going to have to release the video of the two of us singing and dancing during the musical breaks, because it is now it is impossible for us not to go full dubstep while listening to that. And also during our opening music, we do go full air guitar. And it's very, very funny.
Yeah.
We do need to discuss. We did say that we were going to leave Supremacy by Muse in as our intro music for the rest of the year. Are we going to stretch that to 2022, or do I need to think of a new one?
I think I want it all the way through 2022. That's basically the rest of the year in my head. That's what you meant.
Okay. All right, cool. Right. The end of the game is approaching.
We're nearly at the end of the year.
And the new game is approaching. And we're changing some stuff around. So, how's that going to work?
I think maybe, oh, well, this is going to be a bumper mega news section. So, if you want to pause the podcast for a moment, get yourself a nice, cinnamon spiced coffee latte, whatever, or a big drink that's going to last you some time.
You may also need a piece of paper and a pen,
or some mulled wine. Yeah.
Oh, mulled wine. Oh, very festive. Pen,
a ream of paper to take notes, because this is going to be a long one. I think the best place to go from here is to look at the films that are coming out over the next couple of weeks. So today, we've got, at least in the UK, West Side Story dropping.
Do you like to be in America? I like to be in America. There's so much to be in America. I like to be in America. More news on that story as
very good. Yes, Mr. Steven Spielberg bringing us a remake of the classic 60s musical based on Romeo and Juliet. So we've got Steven Spielberg helming, and then Ansel Elgort and Rachel Zegler in probably lead position, although not yet announced because not scored yet. Then support from Maddie Ziegler, Corey Stoll, Ariana DeBose. Those are the people you could pick from. Out this week, I'm not sure how it's going to do, but it's certainly the biggest film this week by some way.
I didn't even know this film was coming out. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything about it. I haven't seen any trailers. I've been to the cinema, actually, probably more than most. Right? I mean, I went and saw Ghostbusters last week. Didn't see a trailer for it. Haven't seen any previews for it. Haven't seen anything. It just seems to have just dropped.
That's surprising.
Which is a bit strange.
I did see one trailer.
Right, fair enough. Maybe I'll go into the wrong films, but haven't seen it. So I'm like you, I'm very interested. Also, we have to, the rules have changed a little bit on this side of the pond. We have to wear masks in cinemas now permanently while sat down. It didn't used to be the case. And whether that's going to deter some people from going to the cinema will be interesting to see as well. So,
yes. Musicals are always interesting, because if you think back to something like Greatest Showman, that had incredible legs. Now, in terms of the FFL, we've only got a few weeks left, so this is a bit of a gamble. The stars range from 4 to 8 million Fufflebucks, so I think this is probably not a great investment, but I'm just sort of mentioning it because it's what's out.
You basically need to be break even with an 8 million Fuffle. You'd need to be number one in the UK this week. You'd need to be number one in UK and US next week, and arguably the week after, which is effectively the last week of the game. So, or more or less.
So the question to ask then is, what, you know, are you likely to be number one next week? And I think the answer to that is a great big no, because next Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yes, which I'm going to go and see.
Bucks like no one can.
I'm going to go and see it on Thursday, so I get to see it early, because I'm finishing for the holidays early. And I'm gonna very happily sit there with my big mask on and watch Spider-Man. And that's, I think, going to. I think that one will make people go to the cinema to see it. That would be a bigger bet, but obviously there's a lot of people apparently going to be in that film, but it's going to be one of those, it's him, and people will pop up, I think, for a couple of seconds, so it's going to be very cameo heavy, so you need to be very careful about that. I mean, I've seen the trailer. It looks like Alfred Molina is in it. It's possible
Tom, much so.
It's possible Tom Hardy might be in that as Eddie Brock. Also, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, who previously played Spider-Man, have said they're absolutely no way. Absolutely, they're not in the film. They never talked about it. So they're both going to be in it. Apparently, Jamie Foxx is going to be in it as Electro Boy or whatever the hell he was back in the. I didn't watch that one. So be really careful on this, because you've got Benedictine Cucumber Patch and Tom Holland are probably both going to be quite high up in the cast. Tom Holland obviously is going to be very well. The rest of it, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. So be
a total gamble.
Careful. Be careful.
Yes, you've got 14 different people you could pick from here.
I'm thinking at least 10 of them are going to be featuring or cameos.
And some that are listed in Whopper right now might have to be removed because of the speculation and the way we pull cast list in from.
Which is why I'm going to go and see it on Thursday. I'm going to see it on Thursday afternoon. I'm going to go and see it as early as I possibly can see it so I can sort that cast list out. I'll be sitting there on my phone, you know, straight after. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. Yeah.
So the eldest of the Smith sibling, offspring, is going to go see this on Wednesday. So,
okay.
We'll have reference if we need a second point of opinion. I know at least one person, but yes, I'm likely to have seen it by the weekend for sure.
Right.
Back to West Side Story. Is West Side Story going to get 2 weeks at the top?
Hell no.
So yeah, maybe stay clear of West Side Story, or look for someone who's super cheap. And then the year's not over, because on the week after, so we're talking basically right around Christmas, we have The Matrix Resurrections.
Oh, is there a new Matrix film coming out?
The fourth Matrix film.
Oh, really?
I somehow don't believe that you've not heard this, because I think it's kind of unavoidable.
No, I mean, I literally haven't been seeing just nothing but what looks like John Wick in The Matrix, and Keanu Reeves sitting in a bath with a duck on his head, and Neil Patrick Harris. And yeah, I've seen a lot of trailers. There's been four trailers for this film now. I'm going to have to upgrade my expectations from meh to it looks
ooh, that good.
It looks good. It looks like it might be good, and I'm really nervous about that. But there are a couple of things that I need to consider about The Matrix, and here's the thing. I mean obviously it's going to be Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss, slow motion, shooty shooty, kicky kicky, etc. etc. It looks like they're going to do a good job of it. It looks interesting, but here are a couple of very important things to think about. One, it's going to be coming out like 3 days before Christmas, and it's therefore, I think it's not going to have a huge audience draw. It'll still do very, very well. And obviously we rank it not by box office pull, but by position in the top 10. And I think it will go top three without a shadow of a doubt. But two, it is a day and date release on HBO Max. Now, HBO Max is available in some European countries. It's not available in the UK, but obviously it is in the US, which means if you are a subscriber to HBO Max, you can literally wake up on 22nd in your pajamas and sit there and watch it on your big telly. I think that might impact a lot. It's also safe to say that anyone who is nefariously minded could get themselves a copy of The Matrix very quickly onto their home computer. And also, it's the end of the year, so Keanu Reeves is going to be reassuringly expensive, because he should be, because he's Keanu Reeves and he's the best person in the world. However, you're gesticulating at me, telling me how much Keanu Reeves is now. There's no point in saying that number, because he's not going to be that number by the end of this podcast.
By soon to avoid disappointment. Oh, too late.
Too late.
Just pause the podcast while I get my next fantasy.
No, none of that. Don't start typing. But he's, stop it. But the question is, can it make its money back in time for the end of the year? Because you literally have 1 week to do it. So what I personally would do is I wouldn't touch The Matrix until New Year. I wouldn't touch it until the clock ticks over to the New Year. You'll miss the first week of it, but then January is always quite a quiet year. January is where they send out films to die, or they put out the Oscar fodder, at which point everyone might go, right, Christmas is done the whole New Year thing, New Year's resolution, go and see The Matrix. At that point, it might have a sudden uptick. So I personally wouldn't do that. However, I'm not playing the game, and I don't look at this data as much as possibly some of our other players do. So what do you think?
Talking about the other players, maybe given that we're climbing into the home straight of the year, we should take a look at who's at the top of the leaderboard for 2021. Maybe we could have a look at what their films look like. Maybe we can use some of their wisdom and see what they think.
Go on, go on then. Let's have a look and see what some of the top players are doing. Because these guys have broken the billion, which I didn't think we could do on the system. So that's impressive.
Oh, hell, and some, with Change, right? So, well, let's look at what the box office actually looks at in the most recently scored weeks. This is week 48.
Let's just
number one in the US.
Let's take a quick break here, and then
I see.
So we can recharge our glasses. We started talking about the news. We haven't even talked about the news yet. We've talked about what's coming up with trailers, and we talked about stuff. So we're kind of doing this backwards. Yeah. But let's just take a break.
News.
Let's go. Yeah, backwards. Okay, quick break. Okay, I'm back. I got a new cup of tea. We were going to look at what the top players are doing. Okay. So you're getting around to talking about what we're doing with the game last year. And rather than telling me what you're doing, we've talked about the films that are coming out. You've distracted me with The Matrix. And now you're going to tell me what everyone else is doing. You are going to have to tell me what you're doing next year at some point. Don't think I haven't forgotten about this.
Yeah, I am doing that thing that weather forecasters do that tell you what the weather was, not what the weather's going to be. It's like, it's been a lovely day today.
I have a window. Yeah,
tell
exactly.
me what it's going to be like tell tomorrow.
Me, tell me what's going to
okay,
happen
so
tomorrow.
So the weather today is...
No, stop. Right. Tell me
the
what...
The weather last week looked like this. Right. Here we go. So number one in the US, number three in the UK is Encanto, which is the most recent...
Disney film.
Animation. Is that Disney or is
yes,
it...
Yes, it is. Yeah. Little Pixar, B has been to see us and she said it was all right.
It was all right. I think, that seems to be the general opinion. Converse, the UK has House of Gucci number one. The US has House of Gucci number three. In between that sort of Gucci and Kanto,
I really want to see House of Gucci.
Ghostbusters at number two.
Sorry, I really want to see House of Gucci, but Mrs. B wants to see it as well, which means I can't go and randomly see it on a Wednesday afternoon, which means I'm not going to get a chance to see it now. But interesting film. But I did see Ghostbusters.
And
it's okay, it's nice. It tries to ignore everything other than the first Ghostbusters film. It has a lot of callbacks, a lot of musical hits. It's good. It's not great. Paul Rudd's obviously innocent, the man's a legend, but a nice film, but it doesn't really do an awful lot. It doesn't really further anything, but
maybe nice. The sequels?
No, to be honest, I don't think it should. I think they just wanted to do one more just for the hell of it. And, you know, the people that you want to turn up and you go, yay. But it's all right. It was okay. Anyway, sorry, I've diverted you from diverting me to tell me about what's happening next year. Go.
Fair enough. In the UK, No Time to Die now down to 5 and June at 6. In the US, June at 9, No Time to Die at 10. So No Time to Die is dropping out the US box office far faster than the UK, but already down to 5 in the UK, right?
Interesting. Okay. June's hanging on as well. I know a lot of people who...
Surprisingly well.
I think a lot of people have gone back to do a repeat view because there is a lot going on in that film. And a lot of people I know have gone back and said, right, I have to just sit down
do it over again. I think it's a film that would actually reward a second viewing, right? There's, like you say, there's so much in it.
I think so. Worth. Yeah, I think it's one of those films that you'll go, right, okay, now that I...
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm making noise. I'm swinging and drinking my cup of tea. I hope this isn't slurping too loudly on the microphone. My apologies.
So that's the, the current box office. And leading the way in terms of earnings that week, DM Biggins, Kevin McDee, Troy Snyder. Tori Snyder. Not a name I've seen before. New player making waves.
Well done, Tori.
Pat Samillian, Ben Richardson. That's the top five in that given week. If we look at the total 2021 season leaderboard, at the top, Pat Samillian.
Yep.
$1.2 billion. You heard that right. $1.2 billion. Fuff bucks.
Wow.
Yes.
That's like Marvel. He's like Marvel money.
I know. Like, not bad, huh? DM Biggins at two, Metarian at three. But those two both at $1.1 billion. So close on the heels. So maybe we should take a look at how these top three, who are like streets ahead of everyone else, what are they doing? What are they doing for the close of the year? So the most recent film out from Pat Samillian, A Tale of Two Zeglers, because we have Rachel Zegler and someone else, Ziegler.
Maggie Ziegler?
Both in West Side Story.
Toby Ziegler. No, yeah. Toby Ziegler was director of communications in the West Wing.
Maddie. It's the Maddie. Who is Pat Samillian picked? Ansel Elgort and Rachel Zegler. So he's going with West Side Story, interestingly enough.
Right.
Then he's Byron Howard and Jared Bush. Yeah. Now, Byron and Jared, who? They are the co-directors of Encanto.
Encanto. So, right.
You know,
okay.
We know that animations do well, directors score big. There you go. And then Adam Driver and Lady Gaga. So he's gone
for House of Gucci.
West Side Story.
Yeah.
And House of Gucci leads.
Basically. Really hedging his best. Didn't go for Spielberg, though. Interesting.
Didn't go for Spielberg.
Probably
didn't
too
go
expensive.
For The Matrix. Didn't go for anyone in here on Spider-Man either. Now, this is the most recent film. We could go back and look at what...
No one from Spider-Man. Next week,
yeah. So Pat Samillian has left those two late films completely.
Interesting.
As you suggested, right?
Let's
take a look at DM Biggins. Let's take a look at DM Biggins. What's he done?
I just like to think of the moment there that they're listening to the podcast going, don't open my film. Don't tell people what I'm doing. Ah, no, it's okay. It's locked in. So now that we're saying this, even though this podcast is going to drop on Saturday, you can't just go in and copy them now for tomorrow's scoring. So we aren't compromising the security of the game in any way. This is all public knowledge. You can do this yourself. You can drill into anyone else's accounts, you can see what they're up to, you can see what films they've done. Indeed. It's all transparent. The only thing that it blocks is on the Thursday when the deadline, so before the deadline drops, you can't see what people are about to do. You can't see their cards until they've played them, so to speak. So don't worry, nobody panic,
this is not the spoiler zone.
We're not trashing anyone's game. Exactly, yes.
Yeah. So DM Biggins, right, second place, Chasing Hard. He's got, he's opening with his last film, Byron Howard, Jared Bush. So going with Encanto again.
Yeah.
Now, Jason Reitman, McKenna Grace, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard. He's gone full.
He's gone big on Ghostbusters.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. Again, though, leaving those late films just nowhere near.
Stephen Milan.
Nowhere near. No point. Interesting. Apparently. Third place, Metarian. Again, Byron Howard, but not Jared. He's got Steven Spielberg instead.
Oh, okay. Right. Interesting.
He's done a 1-2 split on the directors. Then he's got Ansel Elgort, Rachel Zegler, we've seen before, again. Yep. So he's slightly more biased towards West Side Story.
He's gone a little bit more heavy on that.
I think perhaps because she's cheap. She's only 4 million Fufflebucks.
Who's cheap?
That's a good... Carrie Coon.
Yeah.
4 million Fufflebucks. For Ghostbusters. Obviously not lead, no. Supporting, right?
Yes.
And then finally, Salma Hayek. Salma Hayek carrying over from The Eternals. Now, what's interesting is she's 4 million Fufflebucks, obviously in a supporting role. But if we look at where, how The Eternals was doing, I forgot to mention, Eternals is still at number 4 in both the UK and the US.
Really? So
he's
getting
some nice late earnings off there, right? And if we look at the two of them, Metarine is at No, 1,167,000,000.
Right.
So 1,167. And Dean Biggins is on 1,174. So there's 7 million Fufflebucks between them. That's, if as a percentage, that's like less than 1% between
them. So they are really, that's really close. That's a really, really close. Excellent. Yeah, yeah.
So, but they've none of them, all three have got different plays, right? You know, you might think it's obvious, but yeah, just.
Well, no, I mean, and this is, and this is the thing with the game. This is the way that we try and design the game is you can just pick the people that you quite like. You can just, you know, or you can really go for it. But it's interesting. I mean, I think there was once or twice while playing the game, when, like, I think when one of the Avengers films came out, everyone's cast was identical. Everyone just basically went for exactly the same yeah. thing. But more films means more spread and more choice. And yes. it's good because obviously we've had less films in the last 2 years because of everything that's going on. But now it's starting to come out. Now, it'll be really interesting to see what everyone does next week, because next week you drop Spider-Man in, but you're only going to get 2 weeks out of Spider-Man before we hit the end of the year. So do you stick with something that's performing in, say, slots 3, 4, 5, and 6 of the top 10, or do you go Death or Glory and try and work out what 1 and 2 are going to be? Because if you get it right, you'll probably make your money back. If you get it wrong, you'll spectacularly flame out. So death or glory. Death or glory.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, wow.
If that wasn't intense enough for you, I think maybe we should insert a little break, because Friday morning I dropped a bit of a grenade into the Discord that sort of sent players into a bit of a spin. But maybe we should have a little break, take a breath, calm down, and get ready for some, like, if you think that was intense, get ready for some serious head scratching. Wow.
That was so clickbaity. I'm so proud of you. Okay, I'm going to hit the button. You won't believe what number 7 is. Sorry, I just went a bit clickbaity.
I know.
Go on.
We've got to draw people in somehow, haven't we?
So hang on. I had a day off yesterday. And my day off was in no way was a day off. It was absolutely madness. So I haven't really been into Discord since Thursday evening. Ooh. What did you do?
So people were talking about, just like we've been doing, talking about the end of the season and what and how long they've got for various films to earn and what that might mean if you've got this film versus that film. And I suddenly remembered that there was a little detail, a little peculiarity this year that I had known about since the beginning of the year and forgot to mention to anyone. Now,
I think I know what you've done. I know what you've done. Go on.
Usually the Fantasy Film League years have 52 weeks in, right?
Yes.
The problem is, and the rule is basically any week that starts in that year is in the season, right?
Yeah.
So we pick the first. So back in January, we find the first Friday, because our weeks all start on a Friday.
Yes.
We find the first Friday in January. That is week one, right?
That is week one.
Week two. And we go in. And usually, if you follow that rule, you pick the last week that starts in that year, right? Or the last Friday in that year. And that's week 52. However, years are not 52 weeks long. They're 52 and a bit long. And that means every 6 or 7 years, we get a leap week. Kind of.
We get a leap
That's
week.
Not really the best way of describing it.
We get like a fuffle temporal distortion. Let's call it. Let's stay
correction.
On brand here.
Correction.
A fuffle temporal correction. Nice. All right. Okay. Yeah. First of all, loving the name. So carry on.
2021 is a year. Is a fuffle temporal correction year. We have 53 weeks. Now, for the players who are very close to the finish line and very, very close to each other at finish line.
They need to know where the finish line is.
Freaked everyone out.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
Because it's like, what? What do you mean there's an extra week?
So when does the game end?
So the last Friday, and this is what sort of makes it so like head spinning. The last Friday
is New Year's Eve.
Friday, the 31st of December. So the last week only has one day in 2021, but we're just following the rules. That is the 53rd week. Now, the reason we do this is the way Whopper is put together is it doesn't deal with gaps between years. We could just say, that's stupid, right? Let's not have a week, right? But Whopper basically goes, you're either in one season or the next season. You can't exist in the gap in between, right? It would implode if we tried to make it do that currently.
Okay.
We might have to go in and make a fix. But what really confused people when we went round in circles was the dashboard makes it more confusing when you tell people that there's 53 weeks and what the knowing what the current week is. When you look at your dashboard, it shows you the scores for the previous week. So if we're in week 10 of the game, right, and you're about to put a fantasy film in for week 10,
yeah,
the dashboard says, here are your week 9 scores. So people start thinking, oh, it's week 9, right?
But it's not.
Have to think about
it. It's telling you, it's weather forecasting. It's telling you what the weather was last week. It's not telling you what the weather is today.
Exactly.
Right.
Excellent callback to our analogy there. Love it.
Very good.
In week 1 of the game, when you're putting your first fantasy film in to score for the first week of the game, it shows you the previous year's week 52, right?
Which makes sense.
That's what's going on, right?
Okay.
Which makes it, well, yeah, but I think people have lost track. So when I was going, oh, it's week 50 this week, and they're going, no, it's not, it's week 49.
Okay, you've lost me already because I don't even know what year it is now. Just answer me this one question. When does the game finish?
So last week runs from Friday the 31st to Thursday the 6th. We will put the scores in and announce them on Sunday, January the 9th. 2022, which is actually, if we just stop calling it weeks and weeks, lots of the players had expected that to be the way it worked out. And then I just started throwing numbers around and it confused the hell out of everyone. So I'm sorry for that. Now, some people thought that it would not start, that there would not be a week starting on the 31st of December. We've got to make a call about what to do. I think we should follow the rules as have been stated many times, right? We didn't call it out for this year, but the rules have always been any Friday in the year is in the game, right? It just this year, it's just weird because it's the very last day of the year.
So wouldn't that then be that because I do the scores on Sunday, right? So wouldn't I do the scores on Sunday, January 2nd? And that would be the last week.
Here's the thing, that's for the preceding week. It's the preceding week, yes. So if the week is the 31st, to the 6th of January, you put them in on Sunday the 9th.
I've caught up now because it's the Friday to the Friday. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. So the game...
And why do we have such a long gap? It's because we don't get authoritative lockdown figures until that late.
Until that week.
That's when we know what things are.
So, because one of your days has got its foot... One of your weeks has got its foot in 2021, that whole week gets dragged into the final week. So,
yes.
So that means if The Matrix comes out on the 22nd of December, you technically get 2 weeks to play with it before the scoring ends. And Spider-Man, you're going to get 3 weeks to play with it before it goes. So I stand by my don't go near the Matrix until next year. But Spider-Man is a margin call because that might work. Okay, so officially, the game will close on the 9th of January. I will put this out on Twitter today so everyone knows. We'll put it onto Discord today so everyone knows. And then... That's great. So let's go back to my original question.
One last detail. So what's the last deadline? What's the last deadline you can hit, right? That will be the Thursday
the
6th. 5th of January.
6th of January.
6th, sorry.
Thursday is the 6th of January. Yeah. That's your last chance get your last cast in for 2021.
No one's going to put anything in that week unless they're just burning Fufflebucks for the hell of it because they love to watch money burn. But, you know.
Because there's no point.
Just so we're 100% clear. Right?
Yes. No point in you doing anything on the last deadline day because it won't count. So don't do anything on the 6th unless you just want to just go out in a blaze of glory or you just want to be
just craziness. Yeah.
Giving it that. Okay. So let's go back.
You've, You suddenly found that we've priced Keanu at 1 million Farfelbucks.
Yeah, or zero. Yeah, just to annoy everybody. Yeah. So let's go back to my original question.
Yes.
When's the new season start?
So the first week of the new season will be on January the 7th, effectively. First deadline being on the 13th. Thursday the 13th of January. It's just the following week, right?
Right. So effectively you miss the first full week of January in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because our week start on a Friday.
Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. That's okay. We need to put all this down into easy to read script and just let everyone know, because I think the dates get confused because we refer to the game as years and as seasons, but it doesn't start on January 1st and end on December 31st. It is, as you say, there's a little bit of hangover on both sides, which is why December and January are dangerous months, because a film could come out, do nothing in its opening week and then steam the whole of January. But because the game's ended in December, you're not going to see any return on that. You're going to have to basically start again. So our reset point is effectively the 7th of January. That's when you can start to put in. The 7th of January is when you can start to think about your new cast, and you have until the 13th of January to lock your first cast of 2022 down.
And your new style one and done, which is coming next year as well, right? So I think because I'm knee deep in, I'm basically massively retooling Whopper right now.
Yes. Like so much.
At a molecular level.
So much so that
I think I'm going to try and make this a bit clearer.
Okay. So much so that we're probably going to have to rename Whopper. That's how much of a rewrite we're doing on the code. So we're probably going to have to give Whopper a new name, because it's, as you've said, it does have a couple of idiosyncrasies in it that need to be expunged with flame.
With a sledgehammer. Okay. A digital sledgehammer.
Okay. All right. So next podcast episode, we are going to do all about two things we're going to cover in the next podcast. All we're going to cover is how the game's going to work for 2022, which is all about you. You're going to be all over that section. And I'm going to cover the extremely useful, here's what you should have done in 2021. And I'm going to talk about who the top earners were, who the most expensive person was, who the biggest return was, also who the lowest return was. And then when we come back in January, we're going to do a full-on 2022. Here are all the films coming out in 2022 so far, and the months they're going to come out on, and do a big trailer thing. So we've got a fair bit of admin to go through. So what we'll do then is
it's going to be mega.
It's going to be crazy. So we're going to put all this out in Discord and put out all the days and dates so everyone knows when things start and when things finish. So you'll have a little bit of a break in between. We will then, next podcast, you'll cover off all of the new stuff for 2022. I'll look back at 2021, and then the first podcast of the new year, we will do a huge trailer, what's coming up-ness, which will involve us looking at a lot of teaser trailers, which are usually 30 seconds of someone going, dun-dun, and you go, okay. Yeah, okay, we'll come back when the film's finished.
When's the proper trailer coming?
When's the actual film coming out? But we can start to speculate, and we can start to talk about the big things to look at. Right, that's an awful lot of work. I don't like work. I want to be lazy. Mm. Can I talk about lazy people now?
Yeah.
Okay. Would it not be easier if we just got paid and didn't have to do the work?
Yeah. Well, yes. Can you find a job that does that? Because I've tried and so far I have failed.
It's funny you should ask, because I have. I've decided that this is what I want to do now. I would like to do the FFL, because obviously we both get paid millions to do the FFL. Oh, wait, hang on. We don't.
Mm-hmm. No.
I want to get paid and doing stuff. Now, I've been looking into... I got sucked down a rabbit hole, which... blue pill, red pill, different thing, got sucked down a different rabbit hole about people who were supposed to be in films and then weren't in films, and they got paid for being it. So people turned up, did the costume fitting, learned their lines, got on stage, did all the thing, did all the setups, did all the work, did all their scenes, got wow. paid for it, went home, and then got completely cut out of the film, right? Which would kind of annoy wow. me, because I'd be like, well, I put all the work
yeah.
in. I had to grow a ridiculous beard for this role. I had to learn French, and I did all my scenes. It was a really difficult shoot. I had to wear a stupid costume. I've come home, and now apparently I'm not going to be in the film. So they go, okay, here's the money.
Yeah.
So I looked into that, right? So first of all, that's the thing. That's the job I don't want, is the job where you work for it, you get paid, and then no one gets to see what you did, right? Okay. Did you know Jack Whitehall was in Frozen?
No.
Because he's not. But he was supposed to be.
Sorry, you just made my head hurt.
So.
Explain.
Jack Whitehall, have you seen Frozen?
Yes.
I have a 9-year-old daughter. I have a 9-year-old daughter. I've seen Frozen a million times. So there's a scene where the guy brings Anna to meet all of his adopted family, who are a bunch of trolls.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in a bad internet way. I mean, they're literally stone trolls, and they're lovely, but yeah. they do a whole song about how much that he's a bit of a fixer upper. And at the end, they try to marry them. And then they go, no, the troll that says, I now pronounce you man and wife. That was supposed to be Jack Whitehall.
No way.
He did the recording. He came in. He did his line. He got paid for, you know, a day's work of just sitting in front of a microphone, doing his line, went home, and then wasn't in the film.
And just, why? Just was, why
no
did
one
they...
explained. No one's explained why. Just wasn't in the film. That's just nuts. No. So you've paid for him. You haven't
just
been
pass.
There. Strap in. Then I went, oh, I wonder who else has done films, who's done scenes and then got, you know, did it for Sammy Davis Jr. Sammy Davis Jr., the famous member of the Rat Pack, 60s
yep.
entertainer, the guy who pretended to be a priest in one of the Cannonball films and was very, very funny in it. He was in Diamonds Are yep. Forever.
Wow.
Except
but,
he wasn't.
But wasn't in Diamonds. Yeah, yeah, but wasn't.
Turned up, did a scene, did a whole thing, spent a couple of days on set. Paid him all the money to come in, because obviously Sammy Davis Jr., this would have been in like the early 70s, so he would have been pretty much one of like the most famous entertainers on the planet. Turned up, did all the scenes, got paid, went home, cut the scenes out.
So, but do we know why?
Not really. Not really. I mean, I think either they kind of went, is it a bit of a gimmick? Which I went, yeah, it is a bit of a gimmick. It's kind of a bit of stunt casting. But they cut him out.
Huh.
Yeah. Have you seen E.T.?
I have seen E.T.
Do you know the bit where E.T. Gets drunk at home and then Elliot gets drunk in school because they're kind of psychically connected, and Elliot basically, does he free all the frogs or something? He frees all the frogs, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He gets a bit hammered.
Yeah,
and he gets dragged up in front of the headmaster, and his mum comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know who the headmaster is?
I have no
Harrison Ford.
Whoa. No, it's not Harrison Ford.
It is Harrison.
I'm pretty sure I would have remembered.
Except it's not. So
yeah, exactly.
Harrison Ford's the headmaster. You can hear him in the scene, but they filmed the whole scene with Harrison Ford as the headmaster, and they had the whole scene with the mum, and he's hungover, and he's chatting to him about responsibility. They cut the scene down, and all you can hear is him speak very briefly. So he is technically in the film, but they cut all of the scene out. The reason they cut the scene out?
I don't know why.
Because he's Harrison Ford.
So it's like film, and then it's like Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Like that.
Basically, they said, look, we want this film to kind of be good. We want this film to stand out on its own. If we throw Harrison Ford in there, by the way, the guy who's just been frozen in Empire Strikes Back in the best scene ever and the best Star Wars scene ever at me, and he's just turned up as a super suave, whip-wielding archaeology professor, which I think that franchise might have some legs on it. They didn't want him to go into E.T. because everyone would go, bloody hell, it's Harrison Ford. Gary, Harrison Ford's in this film. And they didn't want people to come out of the film because they thought it would just make everyone go,
yeah,
blimey,
like, did Indiana Ford. Jones lose his job at the university?
And have to like, end up as a primary school head teacher in the 1980s. Exactly. So he did all the scenes, turned up, did his lines, did the thing, did all the stuff, and then they cut him out.
Apparently,
you can, if you go and go onto the internet and search for it, you will find some of these scenes, but they've never reintegrated them into the film. So, have you seen Life of Pi?
John, that's one I have not seen.
The one with the tiger on a boat.
I cannot help you. Yeah, that's all I know.
Do you know Tobey Maguire? He's in that film.
Yes, Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's in that film.
Is he? Is he, though?
Except he's not.
I think I know how this game works. Yeah, I know how this game works.
So Tobey Maguire turned up to do all of his scenes in Life of Pi and did all of his scenes, filmed everything, did the whole job, shook everyone's hand, blah, 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 left, and they went, he's a bit too famous now, isn't he? He's a bit too, because again, he's got the Harrison Ford thing. Everyone would go, bloody hell, it's Gary, Tobey Maguire's in this film. And nobody wanted that. So they took him out and replaced him with Timothy Spall.
Okay. Wow, that's quite a change.
That's quite a replacement, though, isn't it? You kind of go, yeah, let's replace Tobey Maguire with, I don't know, someone who's roughly the same age, the same accent and looks like him. No, let's get Timothy Spall in. So, yeah.
How much do you feel when that happens? Like, I'm like that guy?
Yeah. The thing is you turn up and you kind of go,
how is that guy better than me?
And then you turn up and you go, I'm in this film. And everyone goes, you're not. No, I'm the character. No, you're not. That's Timothy Spall. No, that's me. I see the makeup was really good. No, that's definitely Tim. That's, oh, bloody hell, that's Tim. What the hell? So, yeah, I think, but you still got paid for it, though, which would annoy me.
Yeah.
What I want, though, what I really want is to be paid to actually not turn up. It's someone to say, look, we're making a film. We don't want you to be in it. Here's loads of money. Would you mind
how
going away, please? That's what I want.
How do you do that? How on earth do you engineer that? That's just like magic.
This is great. This is what I want to do. This is, I want to be a famous actor without actually ever appearing in a film, right? I want to be just paid. Okay, what's the budget? The budget is 28 million. Okay, we're going to need to carve out 2 million to pay Mr. Birch not to be in this film. That's how bad I want to be at acting, to not turn up.
I don't believe it. You're going to have to, like, evidence required. Citation required here, sir.
Would you like some examples?
I don't believe there are any, but
picture the scene. Hollywood, 1989. A film called Batman comes out. And it's directed by Tim Burton. Michael Keaton's in it, and he's Batman, which is weird. By some miracle, they get Jack Nicholson to be involved. And the film does quite well. It does quite well. It arguably starts a 40-year run or 30-year run of nothing but superhero films and effectively creates the model that all things follow. Up until this point, superhero movies were campy, cartoony. This one's like, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
This film pretty much starts it all. Do you remember Billy Dee Williams was in that?
Was he?
Billy Dee Williams was in Batman. He was relatively famous for being Lando Calrissian and the smoothest man in the world.
Yeah.
He turned up as the district attorney, Gotham's district attorney, a guy named Harvey Dent. Ever heard of Harvey Dent?
Yeah.
So Harvey Dent, I mean, Harvey Dent had a really good lawyer career until things went a little bit sideways for him. They came round to doing Batman Forever. Tim Burton was shown the door. But Billy Dee Williams was basically lined up to play Harvey Dent, and he'd signed up to play Harvey again and committed to basically playing Harvey in the sequels. Now, they didn't want him in Batman Returns. He didn't turn up in that one, but they really wanted to put Harvey Dent into Batman Forever. And they were going to hire Tommy Lee Jones, which was a really bad idea because it was terrible casting, because Tommy Lee Jones went in there playing the Joker and probably should have been playing Harvey Dent. That's a whole different story.
I'm having flashbacks now.
But before they could do that, they said, well, what about Billy Dee Williams? And they said, well, he can't be it. And they go, well, yeah, but he's committed to it. So we have to. So they paid him not to be in Batman Forever. Now, if I could get one gig, it would be being paid not to be in Batman Forever.
Not to be in Batman Forever.
Here's loads of money. There is a massive Joel Schumacher-shaped train wreck over here. We'll give you this amount of money to be nowhere near it. And you go, oh, thanks very much.
That is the definition. Yeah, that is the definition of a win-win situation.
So that's a lot of money, right? Now, I've got two more.
Wow.
This next one's not good. This next one leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But we need to talk about Johnny Depp.
Okay. So you're saying Johnny Depp's been paid not to be in a film?
Johnny Depp has had some personal and legal issues recently where he has been... He was accused and then went to trial and then lost the trial. But I'm not going to say anything about Johnny Depp. I don't want phalanxes of lawyers. There's a lot of people out there who are really big fans of Johnny Depp, despite all of his issues that he's had. He was Grindled something in the Fantastic Beasts film. So I haven't seen the Fantastic Beasts film, but from what I understand, Colin Farrell was in the first one and was awesome. And then right at the end, Colin Farrell regenerated into Johnny Depp, which was annoying. And then the second film was all about Johnny Depp being scenery-chewingly bad in this film. But because they lined him up to be the main bad guy, he was going to now be in the third film. So the one that they're doing now. But here's the kicker. They didn't want him in that film anymore because of the issues that he's had. And Disney basically said, we don't. So they're going to regenerate him again. Now, the good news is that Johnny Depp was paid $10 million not to be in the third Fantastic Beast film. Right? $10 million. So apparently he did, from what I can understand, he did a couple of days of filming. And then they took him to one side and said, we're going to have to, we don't want you in the film.
Johnny.
Can we have a word? Here's a suitcase with $10 million in cash. And if you just walk through that door marked exit, that'll be great. So however you want to look at that, that's annoying, $10 million. But there is a ray of hope for this, which means that they need to regenerate him into the third Grindel thingy. Mm-hmm. Do you know who they got in?
I do not know.
Right, you may need to back away from your microphone because you're going to get loud at this point. Okay, ready? I'm just gonna whisper it. I'm gonna go a little ASMR. Ready? It's Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh my goodness! Mads Mikkelsen! That's so cool.
Okay, so
that
I mean,
from the ridiculous to the sublime.
The man he's going to be amazing because I've seen beer adverts in where he is amazing. So so there's a kind of a good story to that, but
that's so much better casting if you think about. So I know you're not like mega into Harry Potter in any
and
way,
by and by mega like I the, mean the, at all right but go on
yeah in any way or shape or form, but there's the super bad guy from the original Harry Potter guys was played by Ralph Fiennes, right? And he's like menacing is the word, right?
He was, yeah, whereas, okay.
And Johnny Depp was not menacing.
He was very camp.
That's not his register. No. But Mads Mikkelsen, he fits so well with what Ralph Fiennes did. That's so much. Yes, yes! correct decision.
Okay. I mean, it cost them $10 million to get rid of Johnny Depp.
Plus whatever Mads is.
Plus whatever Mads is on for, but I'm guessing they haven't got Mads for $10 million.
If you think about this, but economically, that means some accountant has gone, we think Johnny Depp is going to do at least $10 million, probably more, of damage to the bottom line of this film.
Someone has got a spreadsheet and basically said, you're better off giving him the money and getting rid of him and getting someone else in because the negative impact of him being in the film is a problem.
Yeah, at least this much, right?
You're
better off with sending this money out the door. So you get this much money in. You don't lose this much more down the line.
Also, we've had it on good authority that Mads Mikkelsen available. And everyone's like, get Mads Mikkelsen. The man's an absolute ledge. That's a weird one. But here's the best
one.
You're happy.
I was kind of checked out of the Fantastic Beasts films. Now I am definitely much more inclined. So yeah,
I haven't seen any of them.
They chose wisely.
I knew Colin Farrell was in the first one, and I have a deep and abiding love for Colin Farrell a lot of different reasons. But then I found out that he regenerated into Johnny Depp, and I'm just like, meh, Johnny Depp, I'm not a huge meh. But apparently they're also rebooting the Pirates of the Caribbean series. Margot Robbie is apparently rebooting it. But they have to, unfortunately, they also they have a Captain Jack Sparrow situation. They can't have him in the film. So, yeah, he's kind of persona non grata at Disney for reasons that you can look up and I'm not going to get into. But I've got one more. Yeah.
Oh, if it's Margot Robbie, I'm definitely much more interested. She's cool.
Yeah, I like Margot Robbie. She's really good. Have you seen Focus?
No.
Okay, watch Focus. She's really good in that. Okay. I was going to get Mrs. B to watch The Suicide Squad, but we got sidetracked by something else, so we'll probably watch Suicide Squad this week. I've got one more.
Okay.
This one's got everything. This has got everything that you would want in the final part of a story for getting paid not to do a job. We've got 1990 Hollywood levels of excess. We have a film so infamous that there have been several books written about it. And I think
I'm intrigued.
And this is the kicker. We've got Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
So back in the 1990s, when Batman, as previously discussed, had caused a fair bit of re-interest in the superhero genre, and everyone went, okay, we can do superheroes, but we have to make it dark now, because apparently dark works and everyone's going to be dark.
Because Batman.
Batman. So they tried to do another Superman film.
Okay.
And this was going to be called Superman Lives, and this was effectively the storyline where Superman is killed and then is resurrected. And all the stuff around that. It's not into a comic books, but it's considered to be one of the big kind of stories, because it was the first time that they actually killed Superman, and they killed him in the comic books, and it made the news. I mean, that's how much of a big thing this was. But this film, they started pre-production with Tim Burton as director, because they said, well, we'll get Tim Burton in. They had all the scripts written. That Kevin Smith did a script, someone else did a script. That weird guy with the obsession with big metal spiders got involved. That's a whole different thing. And the whole film, that guy. The whole pre-production budget went absolutely insane, because they were building sets, that they were writing scripts, they were paying guys, and they were just racking up huge amounts of cash, and they hadn't shot a single scene yet. They hadn't built a set, at which point they approached Nicolas Cage.
Okay. Wow.
And wanted Nick Cage to be Superman. Now, if you type into Google Nick Cage Superman on an image search, you will get to see the costume fitting they did. And he's got long hair, like full on like long hair, and he's got a low cut Superman suit. It's amazing. That's the only bit of footage that exists of this film. But in order to get Nick Cage on board, they had to commit to pay him. Whether they made the film or not, you're typing in Nick Cage Superman image search, aren't you?
You can hear me typing in. Wow, look at that.
That's amazing, isn't it? Okay.
That is something.
Yeah. So how much do you reckon they had to pay Nick Cage to wear that costume? That's all he did. Just that. So they said, we're going to get you a Superman. He signed on. He's a Superman nut, apparently. And they gave him the money. The whole thing collapsed in a mountain of mismanagement, a revolving doors of directors, scripts everywhere, and the whole thing just collapsed, and they walked away from it, and it was a huge bill, and that bill for Nick Cage was $20 million.
Wow.
They paid Nick Cage $20 million, and the only work he did was put that suit on.
That is a costume fitting.
That is the job I want.
Just mind-boggling.
Yeah. Now, there are several books about the saga. Oops, sorry. There are several books around the saga of this film, and it is a so podcast series.
Why did it not happen? Why did it not happen? Or
it's epic one of
saga?
Those things. There's a really great book which I talked about years and years ago called The Greatest Films Never Made. And it was all about people who tried to do a sequel for a film, and it didn't work. Someone tried to make Dune in the 1970s, and they ended up racking up about 20 million. They got Salvador Dali in to do the concept art and the set design. I mean, it's absolutely bananas.
Oh, is that the Hodorowski one?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I've heard about this. Yeah. I've seen some of the pictures. It looks bonkers.
It looks insane. But the point is they spent millions, and then they basically sat there and went, yeah, we can't do this. We have to walk away. The Superman Lives saga. Honestly, if you ever want to do a spin-off podcast, I will just sit here and I will just read you all of the stuff that it's some wacky stuff. Kevin Smith, even though he's a little bit tiresome to listen to, Kevin Smith is, sorry, I went full Craig Revel Horvath there for a moment. He's a little bit tiresome. My apologies. Even though he's a bit tiresome to listen to, he has a whole thing because he was involved in writing that script and he got paid a fair bit to write the script, and they just didn't, they took the script and went, yeah, cool, thanks, yeah. And they just moved on to something else. It's bananas. But 20 million of that,
crazy,
of the overall bill was Nick Cage for not being Superman. That is the job I want. What did you do? I didn't play Superman. Oh, huh. It's a very nice house you have. Thank you. I have five.
I think the problem is, though, is to qualify for those jobs, you need to be Nick Cage.
Yeah, you see, that is the only problem.
You can't. There are prerequisites for these jobs that are, I think, maybe out of reach for us. Because
that's a good shout.
Hell yes, I want that job.
Point, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So step one.
Sorry.
Step
to,
one,
to being,
be
to
Nick
be
Cage. Step two, get paid $20 million for not being in a film. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's,
I mean,
it's
I didn't
foolproof
say,
plan. Foolproof.
I didn't say it was a perfect plan, but it is a work in progress. And on that $20 million bombshell is where I leave you.
Just my mind yet again blown.
I know,
by the insanity of Hollywood.
It's absolutely crazy. I'm seriously considering just reading all of the books and just doing a spin-off podcast episode on that, because it fascinates me. The amount of money that is wasted on things that you never see are amazing. I'm going to dig out that book, which is, I have to find it somewhere. It's The Greatest Films Never Made, and some of the films sound amazing. Like, I'd go and watch them, but for whatever reason, it got to a point and they went, nah, forget about it. So, yes. Right. That is it. We have to leave it there because you've got an awful lot of work to do and I have an awful lot of plans.
Hell yes.
But we will be back in 2 weeks' time?
Well, that would be Christmas Day.
We're not back on Christmas Day. Okay, how about this? I think we may have
probably
to
need to do it maybe slightly less than 2 weeks or slightly more than 2 weeks.
We'll be back at some point
in
before
the
end of the year. No, we'll be back before the end of the year, and we're going to do a full rundown of all of the facts and figures for 2021, who you should have bought, who you shouldn't have bought, et cetera, and then we're going to talk in depth about what we are doing for 2022. So that's going to be quite a long one. You might want to get some coffee for that. We try not to go too stat heavy as much as possible. We try and talk about other things, but it is quite useful if you kind of wanted to play the game. If you're new to the game, then it's great to kind of have a listen, because usually while talking about how expensive Dwayne Johnson is, at the same time, he's probably one of the top earners. So yeah, so there's a lot to think about. So yes, we will see you probably less than 2 weeks. We might have to do this next week. Can we do this next week?
Oh my goodness. No.
Okay. We will see you soon.
Melting brain.
We will see you soon. And I'll let Smith decompress. I've thrown too many things at you today with Smith, with Superman and Johnny Depp and Nick
cannot
Cage.
Compute. Cannot 20 compute.
20 million fuffle books. Shall I just play the outro music and let us all go home?
I think so.
Okay. See you soon.